think of Montreal. And what I'm going to present today is joint and ongoing work with Guido Berlin, Gilles Brassard, and myself and Nicolas Godbout. And it's a collaboration between Montreal and École Polytechnique, which are on the same campus, but sort of administrated separately. Okay, so a very short overview of my talk. I'm going to get to this new protocol for quantum coin tossing that we came up with. But first, I need to introduce things a little by going through two other protocols and explain what's wrong with them and what we're trying to fix in these protocols. And I mean, the new result concerns this tolerance to loss, which you find in real implementations. And I'm just going to end with concluding remarks and future work. OK, so coin tossing or coin flipping is the same thing. It's a cryptographic primitive. It was introduced in 1981 by Manuel Bloom. And then in the title, it was written, it's a protocol for solving impossible problems. OK, so it should be seen as a task or a tool to design other protocols in cryptography. The abstract of the talk was the following, and it's usually the way it's presented. Alice and Bob just divorced. They can't really see each other anymore, but yet they have to divide their belongings, right? So, and they come to, they're tired of fighting, so they come to that very last resort, which is coin flipping, which is the least competitive way of deciding something, but they have to do it over the phone. But of course, they don't trust each other. So Bob wouldn't like to, as it said, wouldn't like to say, to be on the phone and say, OK, so I'm choosing heads. And then Alice would flip and say, too bad you lost. So they can't really trust each other this way. So as I said, it was said to be an indispensable tool for the protocol designer. And then because there might be one dishonest participant, we want to force Alice and Bob to produce answers that are going to be used to create the result of the coin toss to contain a certain degree of randomness, ideally complete randomness, to prevent one of them to determine the outcome of the coin toss with certainty. Okay, coin flipping, as well as already proved useful in solving problems that were thought to be impossible to solve at the time, like mental poker, certified mail, and exchange of secrets. Now, certified mail is something I think is important. When you want to send an email to something or just mail, you want to make sure that this person, you want to be able to certify that this person received the email. And then coin flipping is a way to do that. Okay, and the thing that these tasks have in common is the possibility of doing a cryptographic task. Possibly comprising one dishonest player, but without having the need to resort to a trusted third party. Classically, if you want to do coin tossing, you either have to resort to unproven computational assumptions, like factoring is hard, or you can also use relativistic configurations, which give you perfectly secure, unconditionally secure, quantum coin tossing protocol, but that can be, of course, impractical. Otherwise, if you don't have these, then a dishonest player can always win with certainty. Now, interestingly, quantum mechanics succeeds where classical physics doesn't, so it's quite interesting for people in quantum information science. Now, I'm going to start by explaining the BB84 coin tossing protocol, which was part of the original BB84 paper on quantum key distribution. So just to read the abstract a little, we also present a protocol for coin tossing by exchange of quantum messages, which is secure against traditional kinds of cheating, even by an opponent with unlimited computing power, but ironically can be subverted by the use of a still subtler quantum phenomenon, which is the Einstein-Podolsky-Rosen paradox, which is, of course, entanglement. OK, so let's review let's overview how the protocol works. OK, we have Alice and Bob, and then they're talking over the phone. So to produce the result of a coin toss, Alice is going to, in a way, provide Bob with a bit, and Bob is going to provide Alice with a bit, and they're going to do the result of the coin toss like this. So Alice is going to send a quantum state in which a bit is going to be hidden, and then Bum is going to measure this state. And then Bob is going to send another bit to Alice, X prime, and then Alice, after this, after receiving this, is going to send a classical description of psi of X so that Bob can verify if Alice was cheating or not. Okay? The bit hidden in the state should be such that when she actually sends the bit to Bob, she can be caught cheating. Okay? So you get the result of the coin toss by taking the XORs of the two bits. More specifically, how it works, you use the BB84 sets, the BB84 states, and then you divide them with a bit X. The X is equal to zero corresponds to the rectilinear basis, and the diagonal basis corresponds to the bit X is equal to one. So Alice is going to send, okay, and the second thing is that in each set, you divide the two states with B is equal to zero, B is equal to one, B is equal to zero, and B is equal to one. So Alice is going to send this state to Bob. Bob is going to measure either in the rectilinear or diagonal basis, and then send a bit X prime to Alice. And this X prime has to be completely independent of the basis chosen by Bob here. Otherwise, he might disclose information that Alice could use to cheat. And then once Alice received the bit X prime, she sends the classical description of the state. And then Bob can verify if Alice was cheating only if the basis he used here to measure corresponded to the same basis there. Okay, so in the case where the basis that Bob used here is not the same as this one, then he has to still accept the result and then take it for the coin toss. Okay, and the result is, the coin toss result is given by the sum, the XOR of the two bases chosen by Alice and Bob. Okay, so if we do a very crude security analysis, if Bob wants to cheat, he has to be able to distinguish between this set of state, the X is equal to zero, and the other one, because the result is given by the XOR of the two bases. So he has to distinguish between this density matrix and this one. Now, these two are the same. So basically, Bob just can't do anything at all. Okay, he just can't get any information about the bit X. So this is very good. The problem is that whenever the two density matrices here are the same, Alice can always break the protocol using entanglement. Okay, and this is what Charles Bennett and Jean Brassard knew when they wrote the paper. So this is very unfortunate. So is there a way to get over this? Yes, there is. Well, I could explain very quickly why entanglement allows you to break the protocol. Alice is going to proceed as follows. She's going to send one half of an EPR pair to Bob. Bob is going to measure on a secret basis and declare an X prime randomly. Alice measures in the X basis of her choice. So at this point, after Bob revealed his basis, Alice can still make the choice of her basis. She has not committed to it yet. And then so she can make the choice. Alice declares the basis that she used and the B she measured. And because these two states are the same, are equal, whenever Alice and Bob prepared and measured in the same basis, or they both measured in the same basis, I should say, the result of the bit B is the same. So whenever Bob is in a position to verify if Alice is cheating, then she's never been found to be cheating, but she still has all the information. She can decide her basis. Now, this is always possible for any coin toss protocol. This is always possible whenever the two density matrices, row 0 and 0, 1, are the same, so which means that Alice can always break the protocol, and then this is known as the HGW theorem. So how to get over this? Well, a protocol was proposed in 2002 that was able to overcome this problem, and I'm talking about only this one. There are others, but only this one because it's close to optimal. So the this protocol was proposed by Andrews and Bynes, and he overcame the problem of HGW by using Q-trits, basically. So we still have a similar thing. We have two bases, X is equal to zero and X is equal to one. First one is made with zero and one, and the second one with zero and two. and each state is divided by b is equal to zero and b, each subset is divided by b is equal to zero and b is equal to one. And then it proceeds in a similar fashion. Alice sends the state to Bob. Bob, at this point, can actually store the state in a memory and then send another basis choice, which is, again, randomly chosen. And then Alice sends the classical description of her state, and then Bob can retrieve the state out of his memory and then verify if Alice is cheating. And the result is given by the XOR of the two bases. So why this is good? Well, it's good because the two density matrices are not the same anymore. Okay, so basically, Alice cannot use the HGW to cheat anymore. The thing is, because these two matrices are not the same anymore, Bob can cheat now. There's something he can do to distinguish between the bit x is equal to zero and the bit x is equal to one. So that's the drawback that you want to do if you want to avoid the HGW theorem. So Mbanis showed that if only Alice cheats, she can win with a probability of 3/4 without being cut. Same for Bob, so it's symmetric in the probabilities. And it's close to optimal because in 2002, also, Kitaev showed that for any protocol, at least one party can win with probability higher or equal to this. So it's pretty close to optimal. Okay, so now I come to the problem of unbiased in terms of implementation. Why is it not loss tolerant? Well, it's because of the following thing. Whenever the span of row zero and row one are different, Bob can do what we call a conclusive measurement that once in a while will allow him to distinguish perfectly between the two. So he's going to measure the state he receives. He's going to measure the state he receives, and then once in a while, he's going to be able to identify with certainty that he had row zero or row one. And in this case, it would be very simple. Bob would just have to measure in the 0, 1, 2 basis, and if he gets a 1, he knows x is equal to 0. If he gets a 2, then he knows that x is equal to 1. But a lot of other times, he's going to measure 0, and he just can't say anything about it. So in the presence of loss, when Bob has to be allowed that once in a while he just didn't receive the photon because there's losses, well, Bob is just going to wait until his, he could have a perfect detector, he's just going to wait until his conclusive measurement succeeded, and then he's going to declare that he received the photon only in this time, and he's going to win with certainty. Yes? Yeah, you actually never consider both cheating parties. I don't think there's any protocol you can do something when both parties are cheating. So it's not a situation that is usually considered. Oh, that's a good question. Then in this case, one of them would just not cheat, and then we win. Not cheating would be the winning condition. Okay, so to overcome this problem of not loss tolerance, it's actually very simple. Okay, it's surprisingly simple. What you have to do is do just a little twist on BB84, and then instead of doing the coin toss with the basis, you do the coin toss with the bits. Well, I think I lost this one. Anyway. Okay. You do the coin toss with the bit B instead of with the basis X. So you proceed the same way. Alice is going to send a state psi of X and B to Bob. Bob measures in a basis of his choice. He sends a bit that is completely random and then has nothing to do with what he measured. And then Alice sends the classical description. And then Bob can verify only if Alice is honest only when the basis of preparation and the basis of measurement were the same. Otherwise, he has to accept the result. And the coin toss result is the XOR of B and B prime. Okay, so if you look at the two density matrices that Bob has to distinguish in order to get some information about the bit B. There, the spans of each is the same. It's 0, 1. Okay, so there's no that's the condition to have no conclusive measurement to be done. So you just, whenever you receive something, you cannot wait until a conclusive measurement succeeds to answer, because there's no such conclusive measurement. And the second thing is that since row 0 and row 1 are not the same, Alice can't use the HJW theorem in order to cheat. Okay, so it's loss tolerant, and then you can't break it with entanglement. Okay, the security proof for Bob is, I think, pretty much straightforward. That I said already. What Bob can do, he just can simply measure each photon he receives and try to guess with the best probability the value of the bit. And then that probability is something that is well known, how to calculate. It's given by this formula where you have the trace of the distance between the difference between the two density matrices. And then that probability is 85%, so it's a bit better than, it's a bit worse in a way than the unbiased protocol. And then that is obtained by measuring in the Breitbart basis, that is halfway between the rectilinear and diagonal basis. And then I guess in a way that means that the protocol is not optimal, because we can't reach Kitaev's bound. But there's still an open question concerning this. The security against a cheating Alice is, this is still ongoing work, so we're still working on that proof. But what we think so far is that she's really, really constrained. She has to answer a B that is consistent with her preparation basis and the measurement basis of Bob. We have shown that by using entanglement and projective measurements for Alice, the only thing she can't actually increase her probability of cheating without being caught over 1/2, which is just like the normal protocol. And then actually, when only these measurements in the diagonal basis and the rectilinear basis allow her not to be caught cheating. So it seems that Alice has to follow the protocol, otherwise she might get caught cheating. Hence, her probability of winning is 1/2, which is just the same as the normal protocol. Oops. Okay, and we're currently working on a complete proof of this. Okay, so concluding remarks. We propose a new protocol that is loss tolerant and doesn't require a quantum memory when you compare to unbiased protocol. So in terms of experiment, it's much simpler. It's also using the BB84 states, which is something that people are able to do now. Bob's best cheating strategy allows him to win with probability of 85%. Without being caught cheating. It seems that Alice has to follow the protocol, and hence she just can't cheat at all without being caught. And then there's still an open question. Well, there's a few, but one of them is whether a loss-tolerant protocol can reach Kitaev's bound or not is still an open question. I think it's a very interesting one. And then we're currently working in Montreal on a implementation of this. So hopefully it will be done by the end of the summer. Thank you for your attention. That's what we thought of doing first, but it's actually, it's easier to see or easier to analyze very quickly with probably with DB84. So I thought it was nice that the first quantum coin tossing protocol, BB84, could be just twisted very, very slightly to get something that is loss tolerant. So we're working on the rest too. Probably if you can, maybe you can use unbiased protocol and then get a cheating probability for Bob that is lower than 85%. Something that remains to be seen. That's there's a theorem by Umesh Verzireni that says that if you repeat the protocol and you have every bit is biased, there's no way you can get something in the end by taking a function of all the bits you generate, there's no way you can get something in the end that is completely unbiased. So unfortunately, no, that doesn't work. The bias would be the same. I think it would be the same. But I think you can decrease it. That remains to be checked, but you certainly can't decrease the bias to zero. I don't know. Yeah. Yeah, but if you do something that is simultaneous, you in a way use relativistic configurations, and then you don't have to use quantum messages to do relativistic coin tossing, so it's not necessary in this case. Thank you.